My name is Jason Anderson, and I am here to tell you about, well, some of my interests this week. It may be a little bit, I may not have much for you this week, so it'll be a little bit bite-sized. I'll have something for you. I'll tell you a little bit about how I had this one potential job where it didn't really sit well for me, and I'll also tell you about this possible free and open source assistant. But here, I'll get the job thing out of the way first. So I think they had, let's see here, I'm trying to remember when they contacted me. I think this was about, when did I have the interview? I think it was last week. Maybe, I had probably talked about this last week, but what had happened was that I had gone to this interview for this, I believe it was a help desk position. And I've gone through a number of these before. Personally, I don't want to do a help desk position, or at least not like this, where I'm talking to clients, but whatever. So anyway, it felt like it was doomed from the start, because for one thing, I got there a little bit late. Another thing was that I couldn't really find the place. Turns out that it was, in fact, in a bank of all places. Well, it's kind of weird. Their offices were not necessarily in the bank, but it's more of they were on the second level of this office place, which hosts a bank. Yeah, kind of weird. But anyway, I was led into there. I had to call them and confirm that, yeah, they really did. Their offices really were in this bank of all places. But anyway, they led me into the place, or I walked up, went into the office, and I didn't really know what to do. I walked up to the door. Now, usually what happens with these interviews is that they'll have a receptionist at the door, or they'll have someone like that to either tell the interviewing person, hey, you know, this guy is here for an interview. I didn't really get that. What had happened was that someone had to let me in. Well, it was more of someone came in, yeah, they'd come in behind me, and the door was opened, and so I had to tell the person that allowed the employee in, hey, I'm here for an interview. And yeah, isn't that just great for security? Anyway, I then was led into this nice-looking office, or, well, it was an okay-looking office, except for a number of things that I'll go into in a minute. But they led me over to a meeting room, which overlooked the, let's see here, I think it overlooked the room, well, no, the road and the surrounding area, well, whatever. They left me in there for, I don't know how many, it could have been 5 minutes, could have been 10 minutes. Usually I don't wait that long. The people, they finally come in. And it was really quick. I'm talking maybe not even 3 minutes, possibly longer than I had waited there. They asked me, oh, you've done this. Oh, you know about this. Okay, you have, you know, this A-plus certification. Oh, you know about Office 365. Oh, okay, good, good, good. Okay, well, then call us on Monday and we'll tell you our answer. So anyway, that was it. You know, it pretty much it was a goodbye. I had asked them just one question. It was, you know, about what do they typically do there, even though I already knew that. But they didn't, I would have shaken hands. Of course not. We have this whole pandemic going on. Oh, yeah. Also about that pandemic. The thing is that these two people who interviewed me, they were the only ones who were wearing masks. Yeah, everybody else in this office, who, by the way, was mostly huddled together around desks, were not wearing masks. So you can guess what I did. You can guess what I did with that job. I pretty much told them no. Ah, brother. I'm wondering if it's getting this bad that I go to these job interviews. I mean, this is probably the first time that I've gone to a job interview since the... Was it? Did I have one months ago? Well, whatever. Anyway. Oh, yeah, I did have that other job interview. Whatever. This is one of the job interviews where I'm just looking at that and I know for darn sure I'm not working there. So instead of doing that, I'm doing something else. And it involves this little AI, this little possibly assistant. This assistant, the thing that I've been looking at over the past week is... It's along the lines of Siri or Alexa, except one of the differences is that it's not as feature-rich. However, it's completely free and open source. It's something called Mycroft. What this thing is, it's from the company called Mycroft AI Incorporated. What this thing is, it's a little... It can act like a personal assistant. More of, it can answer questions for you. It can do a number of things through these things called skills. If you have a smart house, I guess you'd say, you can dim the lights in it. You can tell it to dim the lights. If you want to set reminders, you can do that too. It's not as feature, like I said, it's not as feature rich as Siri or Alexa, because this doesn't have a multi-billion, these don't have multi-billion dollar companies behind it. But it's still getting better and better by the day. I first encountered this a couple of years ago. Trying to remember where I found it. I think I had either listened to a podcast at the time, or I had just read about it in an article somewhere about this neat little thing called, well, as I said, they called it Mycroft. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. That was one of the first names for it. I'm trying to remember some of the other names that they had for it. But anyway, it was one of the first initiatives to have an AI something that's completely free and open source. It's kind of interesting, really, because usually you have something that is started by some big, huge company, and then maybe you'll get an open source spin of it. This time, this company, from the ground up, they made this AI completely free and open source. So if anybody wants to, they can get this working on their computer. I mean, it takes a little bit of technical know-how just to get this working, but they've done a pretty good job making this easy to work with. So if you wanted to just install it on your computer, you could use, say, for instance, Python. You could download that, install some of the libraries for it, maybe pull down the software from their Git repo or their official releases, put in some settings, and away you go. What's also better, what's also really cooler is that they have their own, they sell their own line of IoT devices. They have, let's see here, I think they have something called the Mark 1. That was the first that I think was on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. That sold really well. I think they still offer that product. Then they come out with the Mark 2, and that was smaller, sleeker design. That sold pretty well too. So they're still going. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They've been going for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years or even longer. And they just keep adding more and more stuff to this. It was weird because at first, it was pretty difficult to set up. You had to... I think you had to install a lot of software. I think it was Sphinx, a lot of Python stuff. Was it a speech corp? I mean, geez, Pete. And for the most part, it didn't really respond to your commands. You would give it a voice command, and it would kind of understand it. It would kind of give you some information.
Also, at the time, they had to use, I think it was Google's speech-to-text just to get this to work. But it had potential. So now it's been years, and it's been made much better. They now use Pocket Sphinx on it. I think even they even use, what is it called? Mozilla's Common Voice? Well, anyway, I'll try and have this in the show notes. What I love about this is that, for one, it's open source, and for another thing, you can make it yourself out of small parts. So what I mean by that is you can get a small computer, possibly even a Raspberry Pi. You can then get an inexpensive microphone. You don't really... Yeah, by the way, even one of those... what were they called? Yeti microphones? You can get one of those, or even cheaper. I have one that's already set up, and this microphone that I got for it, I think I only got it for about $30 years and years ago. You could set up speakers on it, and it's pretty easy to put together. So if you go the Raspberry Pi route, what you will need is a Raspberry Pi 3 or above because of the computations it makes. But still, it's fairly inexpensive. So what you would have to do with this is you would just grab the, what was it called? I think it's the Pycroft OS, which is based upon Raspbian, I think, or Raspberry Pi OS. And then you throw that on an SD card, boot the thing, go through a couple of steps, you know, get the speakers up and going, get the microphone up and going, pair it with home.mycroft.ai, and you're good. Pretty much that should be it. You can make it install skills. Skills are add-ons that can make Minecraft do some interesting things. So, for instance, you can make it sing. You can ask it for the weather. You can ask it, you know, what's the news for today? You can, you can even ask it about Pokemon. You can ask it, hey, you know, what kind of type Pokemon is Eevee? It can do some fun little things, but I'm trying to do something more with that. It's kind of in line with what I was talking about last week with IoT things. Of course, the difference with from this and other IoT, Internet of Things, I should say, devices, is that it's fully open. You can take it, change it however you need. You can update it. It's amazing. Still, I'm trying to think of what else to do with this. It's kind of weird. I mean, even if I had an iPhone with Siri or one of those Amazon Pucks or Dots or whatever with Alexa, I wouldn't really know much to do with it. I mean, for instance, if I had the Alexa Dot, I could have it buy shit, but what else? I mean, it's not to say that people don't find a lot of great uses out of these things. I'm sure that they do. But what would you exactly do with it? What I've been trying to do is I've been trying to get it hooked up with my calendar. I run my own servers. For instance, I have an xCloud server, and on that I synchronize my calendar with it. What I'm trying to do is have Minecraft understand my calendar. Now, unfortunately, the skill for it is still early days, so it can only do your own calendar, you know, a locally hosted calendar, or an iCal, you know, one from Apple. I've tried setting up my CalDAV with it, but there's just some problems. I don't entirely know what the problem is. I need to get in touch with the developer and see what he can do about it. Would be really nice if I could actually add calendar events to this. I mean, I could ask it, you know, hey, set a calendar event for somebody's birthday. Or I could ask it, you know, what's coming up next. That'd be nice. Or I could have little reminders. I could set a reminder. It could tell me, oh, your dental appointment is on Tuesday, yet, you know, 11 o'clock. That would be pretty nice. But I'm trying to think of what else I could do with this. Now, my folks, they're getting on in the years, so to speak. Similar to how I spoke about Jamie and her parents last week, I'm wondering what I should... I don't know if my folks could really benefit from this. I mean, they don't have any IoT stuff. They don't even want any of that stuff, which makes sense. I mean, it can be a real pain in the neck to set it up or to maintain it or whatever. But I don't know. Maybe they would like the emergency stuff it can have with this. So, for instance, if, say, my mother falls, hurts herself, you know, she could have the thing call for help. That'd be pretty nice. Of course, I don't know how this would exactly call for help. Because it doesn't, again, unlike with the Alexa and Siri one, it can't really call home. So I don't know how it would exactly do that. But I'm still going to explore the skills that it can provide. I'm sure it can do something. I mean, I don't have any of those Wi-Fi light bulbs. But then again, I can easily flip the switch on and off. Anyway, that's pretty much all of my interests this week. There's not much that I had in interest this week, but I'm sure I'll have more interests next week. So anyway, if you need to get in contact with me, you can look me up on Twitter at @thefakejasona, or you can look me up on Mastodon @ertain@mass.linuxgamecast.com. Or if you want to look me up on the web, you know, you can look on my blog, jasonsblog.place. Finally, all I can say is, you can't get to the top of the mountain if you don't aim for the stars. Good night.